Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. The Knobs, babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds. Wait, I missed one. Harry, what is it? The degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother, bride, Darren, the parlor kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
You've never messed that up. What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Gurus of gambling. Damn it. I missed the gurus of gambling. And boy, were we the gurus of gambling. Last night, we did a race to 10 Monday marathon. The NBA stacked 15 games. All 30 teams played 15 minutes apart. There were tips. Ooh. And we bet every game race to 10. And I don't think it could have worked out better. I mean, we could have been 15-0. But we went 10-5, Bri. It was very exciting. We had almost all of the extra point staff on. We had Tate Frazier on, who's also coming on later on this show to talk about college basketball. We're going to preview the 2022-23 season. We had Joe House. We had John Jastrzemski. We had the Megans. We had Hench. We had Damashek, Martin Weiss. Everybody jumped on. 10-5. Lots of fun. I don't know. I get more excited about this than I think than most people would, but I thought it was great.
I thought it was the most fun thing we have done, right?
Yeah.
And actually, the time, I mean, for 4 hours, the time flew by. It flew by, but it was a great time.
We watched parts of 15 games, but Darren, didn't it feel like less than a game? Didn't it feel like it took then if we had just sat back?
Absolutely. I think helped a little bit with the fact that there was a football game going on.
Yeah.
But Sal, look, again, first of its kind. Like, nobody else has ever done that.
Right.
We were the first to do it. Again, trend setting in the gambling industry, the podcast industry. We've done it again. Congratulations to you.
Me? No.
Being the forerunner of this. And it was absolutely fantastic. I am looking forward to doing this again, possibly from maybe a Vegas location next
Let's go to Caesars, get everybody in the book. We give them all $10 tickets, and then there's hundreds of people yelling, and not just, although we had hundreds of people following us throughout the night, too. That was great. Thank you for tuning in. Aside from the people I mentioned, our friend Shoney, our friend Mabes was on there. Who else? I said Joe House, Martin Sheck, Megan Galley, Megan Connolly, Piacenti was on, and everybody won, I think, except Tate. Everybody was around, Harry, for a winner, except for Tate. We'll have to get into him with that. I mean, he was just late to the party. So I don't know.
Yeah, but again, like Parlay Kid mentioned, we're the trailblazers of betting, Sal. We've been doing this podcast for God knows how long before anyone wanted to even discuss sports betting in terms of a podcast type of a forum, you know?
Right, Bri, between 8:30 and 9:15, we hit six in a row.
I think we hit seven in a row.
Great.
Seven? So fun.
I think we were we were 2-3. And then
were we 2-3?
And then we ended up 9-3 at some point. And then we finished.
We were three and three.
Yeah, I think we started off 2-3 though, and then we finished. We were 9-3. I'm pretty sure we won 7-3.
No, we lost the fifth. We lost the sixth game. Bucks Hawks. We lost. That was in there. Yeah, I got it all right. It's all right. It's okay.
We couldn't do that. We were 3-2. Oh, okay.
We couldn't win seven in a row if we wanted to again. We really could.
No, I know. We took all underdogs. Now a lot of these were toss ups, so you had to decide between the -113s. But we hit some nice underdogs with the Spurs over the Nuggets. What else we hit? There was some pluses in there. We did the Blazers over the Heat one, the stupid Lakers one somehow. We lost with that one, but yeah, so that was good. All right. So we will do that again sometime soon, somehow 10-5. And I'm going to pay out some of our friend Josh jumped on. We're going to give him some money. Beautiful. I love it. So, and Harry just beat COVID. So that's another big upset. I mean, who the hell thought that was going to happen? Nice job, Harry. You sound great.
Finally.
Walter Smith, another winner. Walter Smith wins our Pick'em contest, 12 right. I was third with 10 right. Walter Smith gets a $100 gift card. I don't get anything for coming in third. Harry doesn't get any. He should be punished. 199th, Harry, with three right. There are only 203. 203 joined. You were 199th. Defend yourself there.
Hey, listen. Not good, but I do own a gold cap, unlike someone.
Oh, wow. Oh, Bry. Shots fired. You got to get it. Well, Brother Bry, you know what he owns? He owns first place in our staff competition, 8-2-2 on the week, which is what I did as well. Oh. He is now in first place by 4 games, Harry, over me, you, and Hedge.
4 games, nice.
Yeah, Brother Bry, good job. Well, man. Yeah, I don't know how it happened.
I've had like 5 straight weeks of going like, you know, 9-4, you know, 8-2. It won't keep up. I'll lose this in 2 weeks. I'll be behind.
Good. That's what I want, because 4 games seems like a lot to make up, but lots of season left. All right, listen, let's take a quick break, and then we'll recap that Monday night game, that stinker, Ravens Saints. Be right back. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY, or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back. Tate Frazier coming up in about 5 minutes. He's going to take us through. Guru, I was talking about on Extra Points. This guy, he should have a network show already, Parlay Kid, right? Who knows more than Tate? Who knows more than
absolutely.
Him at this point?
CBS, one of these people should have him doing one of their main network programs, ESPN. Somebody, this guy is amazing. Nobody knows more about college basketball than Tate the Great Frazier.
Easy on the eyes, too. Still young. Maybe he should be an assistant coach first, Bry. Maybe that's how he has to do it or something. I don't know. We'll talk to him about that. Ravens 27-13 over the Saints. They cover the small spread. The game goes under. We all had the Ravens. We all had the under. Harry was flirting with 4-for-4. He had Lively and then a bunch of terrible puns about Lively at 8-1.
Likely.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. I said it wrong just so that you wouldn't know. All right. Likely.
It was likely you were going to get that word, that spelling wrong, but still.
I didn't get the spelling wrong, but I guess I did on the thing. But likely 8-1 odds to score the first touchdown. Harry goes 3-for-4. Dalton threw a pick, was in the fourth quarter. I mean, should have had like 3 or 4.
Yeah. Fourth quarter, 5 minutes, and yet another, like Aaron Rodgers, another off the face mask, off the helmet, up into the air pick from 5 minutes.
Yeah, he had a bunch. Bry, he had a couple that could have gone in, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not agree with that.
Yeah, you know, he's done that a bunch of times, right? This year, that tip pass.
Should we make a little contest though? Like if one of the four of us goes 4 for 4, the winner gets to pick out of one of the three who has to go pick from the Capricorn.
So you really thought this through. Wow. Good job. the winner has to pick from the cap of consequences that
the winner gets to pick one of the three of us to pick who has to pick from the cap of consequences.
Write out your thoughts. Maybe go to the blue tent. And
I can't even swallow still. All right. Okay, I still can't even swallow.
All right. So that's good. All right. consequences have caught up with Harry. So yeah, that was a bad game. Right. That was bad. The one thing I'll say is I was looking at MVP odds. Lamar is 9-1, Parley Kid. I know you're a fan. I mean, who's not a fan of the way he plays, but it's never been closer or will never be closer than it is at the top now. He's the fourth choice. Mahomes 2-1. Josh Allen now with this mystery injury is +225 and Jalen Hurts at +250. Is it worth sprinkling a little on Lamar Jackson 9-1?
I'd probably advise against it right now. I'm not sure if he's putting up the numbers and has the weapons that he needs to get to probably a MVP status, unless he, you know, just goes off rushing the ball. I'm just not sure if he can get there. I'm sure the Ravens do have a few more losses on the way for them. I don't think this is a team that's going to be lighting it up on a consistent basis. They'll make the playoffs, et cetera, probably win that division, but I'm not sure if it's going to be MVP worthy right now, even though, you know, I did grab him at 20-1
right
to start the year. 9-1, you could sprinkle a little bit, but I'd be careful. But, you know, any of those other guys up top, I mean, I think Hurts should be getting a little,
Yeah, but he's so – okay, so you probably have to win 12 games, right? 11 or 12 games. He might get there. Sure. They're scared. They could run through this a little bit. They could – some of these teams are weaker than we thought that they play. He has 16 touchdowns. 6 interceptions, right? He's doing it with his legs for sure. Mahomes, 21 touchdowns. Allen, 19. And Burrow, 18. Go ahead, Harry. What were you going to say?
Do you have the odds in front of you, Sal, right there?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Just curious. What's Geno Smith right now?
Geno Smith is 25-1, about 8th on the list. He's behind Tua and Burrow.
I got him a week and a half ago at 100.
Okay. Are you bragging? I mean, he's not going to win. There's a lot of other names.
Did Harry ever tell us that? This is the first time we're hearing it.
Yeah, when are we?
It is the first time. You're correct, Brian. But I did get him at 100-1 at Caesars.
Okay. You know, I have Jalen Hurts at 350-1. I meant to tell you guys. I didn't say it. But hey, Brian, you have any bets that you didn't tell us about?
I also what's Christian McCaffrey? Just wondering.
You know
what's McCaffrey?
He's 150-1.
Who cares? Why have him too? You wasted money on that.
I know, but you know what? Maybe if they go undefeated and he puts up games like he did nonstop against the Rams, I don't know.
Harry forgets that there's one winner. There's one winner from for these categories. Yeah.
How much is he betting though, Harry? Jesus, like, you know, he's betting. This is the behind the scenes Harry betting too.
Right. I'd pay money to see your bet slip before the week after a weekend, Brian.
It might be a good amount of money, but it's not nearly the
volume.
Maybe you should change it up. Maybe you should change it up. I'm up $1,200 since the Titans game, baby.
Yeah, but how much are you down the last 3 weeks?
Are you counting your McCaffrey loss and your Geno Smith loss? Because those are not wins.
I'll count the McCaffrey one maybe, but I ain't counting out the Geno Smith one just yet.
Joel, what were you going to say about this?
First of all, when Harry gets his 10th first touchdown, there should be like a punch ticket. We got to give him a free
cocktail or something.
Yeah. But I did get a DM from, I think, one of our fans, Neil in St. Louis, that Harry should put out a book like Where is Waldo? But you have to find the ticket he bet on. So you're searching for the ticket.
I see.
Waldo.
Not bad. All right. Yeah, I would like to see these tickets, Harry, that you claim to have. But so that's the MVP discussion right now. I don't know. I'm looking at these division odds, too. There were some weird ones we went over on extra points. But the Ravens are, I think they're 450 now to win this, -450. The Bengals are +375. Harry, would you rather have the Bengals or the Jaguars to win the division? But similar odds.
Yeah. still the Bengals, because the parlay kid made a good point. It's not sold on the Ravens yet. I'm not really as well. And the Bengals, we mentioned yesterday too, when they're at their best, they will beat and could beat anybody. They, and especially last year after making it to the Super Bowl, this year they still have seen, and without Chase, they did one. They were unbelievable against Carolina. And still, when they're at their best, they might be the best team in the
year. No, but
they
could
be the best team in the AFC at least.
But you don't know what offensive line is going to show up.
It makes it tough, but I'd rather have them because you can't trust Lawrence at all. You can't trust Burrow.
It is weird though. They're like 2.5 games back and plus 350, and the Bengals are a game back. I know they lost a head to head to the Ravens. They're plus 375. And then, yeah, I know what else is dumb. Not that this number is off, but the Packers, it's the first week of November, and they're 15-1 to win the NFC North.
Wow.
Who the hell would have thought? 15. Now they're 3.5 games back. Is it actually 4.5, right? They're 4.5 back.
Yeah.
With like as of right now, 9 or 10 to play. And the only other thing I'll say is, Parley Kid, the Dolphins at 4-1 getting a lot of buzz now. People love their style of play. They love that Tyreek Hill is going for this record. They're sold on Tua. And now with this UCL injury, 4-1 odds, so the Dolphins over the Bills is a very, very sexy choice.
Yeah, it might be. But you got to also remember this Dolphins defense just gave up a ton of points to the Chicago Bears, who have struggled offensively for most of the year. So, and as we know, especially in that conference, as the weather gets a little colder and these Dolphins have to travel to these cold weather cities, we'll see what the Dolphins are made of at that point. We'll see how Tua's arm holds up when there's 40-mile-an-hour winds in Buffalo, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not going to write the Dolphins ticket for that yet. I wouldn't go there.
All right. I'm looking at some of these coin flips that make the playoffs. Bri, real quick, Jets, yes or no?
No.
No? All right. No, no. Is minus 140. Bengals, yes or no?
I have to look at their schedule. Off the top of my head, I'd say yes.
Yes is minus 130. And those are the only close ones, I think, that are on the board right now. Yeah, that's great. I would think the Chargers would be close too, right? Didn't we say those three are the ones that...
Tampa's what? Tampa's, yes, minus 220.
Yes.
No, plus 190.
Yeah, so that was another one I was looking at. Like the Falcons for the division are... Now I got to find it. Now I'm way off here. I'm just got all these mixed up here. Falcons are tied for the division, but a big plus. We did this on extra points. Falcons are tied for the division, but plus 320 to win the division, whereas the Jaguars are plus 350 and 2.5 back. I don't know. There's some numbers in there that if you think about it long enough, you'll lose a lot. And I recommend everybody do that. Well, hey, we're going to be
quite the discrepancy there.
It really is. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I spent a lot of time researching this nonsense. All right. Listen. I'm going to take another break, then back with Master Tate Frazier.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're back, and let's do it. Let's bring in our guest. You know, last week, I tried to acquire him at the trade deadline, but the demands from his current employer were just too high, and he was also too high. He also failed the drug test, which is a problem. One half of the Titus and Tate podcast, our good pal Tate Frazier is here. What is happening, Tate?
Oh, yeah, it's great to be back, and as far as the drug test, I blame Harry. He gave me gummies. It was not my fault. I thought they were just gummy bears, so I apologize, but it's great to be back with you guys.
He was giving them out on Halloween. Of course we're going to have you. You know, we're doing our college basketball preview, and
it's back.
I can only think of one person to have as a guest. Unfortunately, Jay Wright wasn't available, so here we are.
Yeah, he's busy with CBS. Yeah, he's too busy.
That's right. Tate, you famously called Coach K was going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Give us right now your bold prediction for this season.
Jim Boeheim last year. I think it's the Jim Boeheim farewell tour. I think
this is it.
Yeah, and I think Red Autry, who was on the bench, you know him, Harry. Red Autry, I think, is the one who was waiting in the wings to be the next head coach of Syracuse. So I think maybe January that news comes out. That's my bold prediction.
It's about 8 years overdue, Tate. About 8 years overdue.
Yeah, but, you know, now that Buddy's gone, he's with the Pistons, or, you know, I guess he's probably with the G League team at this point. But, you know, I think now that, you know, the Boeheims are out of the building, now Jim Boeheim finally does his curtain call. Unless he wants to go after Coach K's wins record, so maybe he stays for five more years.
Deep down he does, Tate. You know, yeah, he does.
Exactly. So that's my bold prediction, Sal. Jim Boeheim says goodbye.
All right. Well, that'll be enough of him. Let me ask you this. Let's get right into it. Who wins this thing? And then we're going to give our picks. And you be nice to, you know, Harry's never met anybody, any producer who is as nice to him as you were. Jim Cunningham was just terrible.
Terrible.
Just awful.
Yeah.
Awful to him.
Yeah.
And we loved it. Joel is kind of sometimes on his side, you know, spaghetti and meatballs. I think they help him out. But no one is as flowery and supportive as you.
Yeah, I love Harry. Yeah, I always had Harry's back. You know, he needed someone fighting on his side. And my mom also loved Harry. So, you know, it was one of those things. Yeah,
we had a blast in New Orleans.
Yeah, we had an army. We had an army. Oh,
yeah. All right. So, Army, you don't pick Army, though, to win the title, though, right?
No, I don't pick Army. Yeah, so last year I had Kansas, which worked out great until they were playing mm-hmm. my team in the national championship game. And at that point, I was like, I really wish I had not picked Kansas. That was dumb of me. I'd much rather be wrong. But anyways, Kansas goes on to win the title. This year, I've had a hard time. I've been going back and forth because I'm trying to be objective, right? There's my fandom as a North Carolina alum and being from North Carolina and growing up North Carolina and what I expect of North Carolina. And then there's the reality of the situation. I kept trying to talk myself into, you know, certain teams, you know, like Tennessee, for example, is a team I really like. I think Tennessee has the guard play to win a national championship. I think that they, you know, are built to make a run in March. But then also there's the Rick Barnes factor. Can I believe in Rick Barnes in March? So that, you know, gives me reservations. So anyways, I kept trying to work the formula, trying to figure out who would be, what makes the most sense. Could it be in Arizona with Tommy Lloyd? Could it be a UCLA? They get things together. And I keep coming back to my North Carolina Tar Heels. And, I don't want to be the guy that, you know, is subjective here, but it makes too much sense. 1981, North Carolina goes and plays Indiana. Guess what happens? They lose. They come back in 1982. Dean Smith gets his first championship. 2008, Roy Williams plays Kansas in the Final Four, gets blown out. 2009, North Carolina comes back and wins it. 2016, Chris Jenkins hits the shot. Everyone says, North Carolina, get out of my face. They're not going to do it. 2017, they come back and win the championship. Last year, we all know what happened. They're up 15, and it all goes bad in the second half. They run out of gas. I do believe in this team. I think a lot of it, you know, relies on Armando Bacot and how much he buys in is, you know, kind of playing at his, I think, ceiling, his peak at the right time. He's struggling a little bit out the gate. But I think North Carolina in Houston, the place where Chris Jenkins hit the shot, they come back, they get a little redemption. And wow. I think North Carolina wins a national championship.
You mean to tell me that I had Digger Phelps booked for this spot and I bumped him for you just to come on and pick your own team to win? Come on, Tate.
I can argue for other teams, right? I could see Houston winning in Houston. That is probably my number two team that I have in the back of my mind. And I could see Houston beating North Carolina in Houston with Jim Nance in his last game calling March. You know, he is a Houston alum. He gives the tie to his alma mater, Houston. I could see that whole scenario playing out. But no matter which way I try to slice it, I keep coming back to my North Carolina Tar Heels, and it's hard because I tried to separate my heart from my head, and I just kept coming back to the Tar Heels.
You didn't try.
Good for Tate.
What odds do we get on Carolina? Oh, they're 9-1. They're
plus 900 is what I saw. Right. Yeah, I think it was Gonzaga in North Carolina, but North Carolina is the favorite. I have a few dark horse teams that I really like that we can talk about.
Let's hear from the others because I know Bri likes Houston to win it all. So that seemed like your backup. But Carolina, I should mention, Carolina and Kentucky are 9-1 on Caesars. Gonzaga and Houston are 10-1. And then UCLA is 12-1. So make your case for Houston.
Look, I really like them. And I know it's 10-1 odds, so you're not getting necessarily great odds, but Kelvin Sampson's just done an amazing job with this group, right? 32-6 last year. They lost in the Elite Eight to Nova after they dominated Arizona, right? In that one game. The year before, they were in the Final Four. Before that, the year before the pandemic, they were in the Sweet 16. They bring back their best player, Marcus Sasser, who I know you like, Sal. Jamal Sheed is back. They also bring in a top freshman, which I think I read was the top freshman they've ever brought in, right? To Houston and Jairus Walker, who's a big body for them, which is going to help. So 10-1. I just like the way this team plays once they get to the tournament, right? They're just a defensive team. Their guards usually can score. So I like them.
You're a Sampson guy, right, Tate?
Yeah, I like Sampson a lot. I think Sampson, you know, if you really polled all the other coaches, the top coaches, let's say the top 30 coaches, I think you'd be surprised how many coaches say Kelvin Sampson is the best coach in college basketball. Yeah. They all have a lot of respect for him, a lot of reverence for him. And he gets these guys to buy in and play as a team. Yep. And, you know, they are really smart about, they're very Gonzaga-ish with their scheduling and things like that. They know how to build the confidence up of those guys. And I think Sasser could end up winning National Player of the Year. So, I mean, if everything goes right for Houston, I wouldn't be shocked in January if Houston's the number one team in the country and everyone's talking about them being the favorite.
All right. Harry, we'll go to you. Creighton, 25-1.
Oof.
You don't like that take?
go ahead, Harry.
Look, I think they got pretty deep. They got guards returning in Ryan Nembhard and Trey Alexander coming off a great, solid freshman season. I think they should dominate the Big East. Kalkbrenner shot 65% from the field last year, averaged 8 boards. And I'm going to give this out right now, Tate. Caesars has them they have the odds to win the Maui Invitational. And Arkansas and Arizona are there too. I'm giving Creighton out at 4-1 to win that and 25-1 to win the national championship. Listen, last year, in the tournament, they lost to Kansas in the second round only by 7. They played them tough and they were ahead most of that game with like 10 minutes left. So I'm going to take Creighton at 25-1. You don't like that?
No, I mean, look, I like Creighton. I think Creighton's going to win the Big East. So I'm not going to say I don't like Creighton. But the one thing that scares me about Creighton is that I think they can be forced into a jump shooting team, as you just saw in their first game. They struggled in their first game last night. And that was because they turned into a jump shooting team. I also think their best player last year was Ryan Hawkins, who is not on the team this year. They did replace him with Baylor Shireman, who's a transfer they brought in from South Dakota State. I like Art Kaluma. I really think if Kalkbrenner has a big year, Kalkbrenner could be kind of the guy that leads them on a Final Four run. But when you talk about a national championship run, I don't know if I see Creighton getting that far. But I do like them to win the Big East. I like them to win the Big East tournament as well. But when it gets to the nitty-gritty of March, I think that they have a few. I'm not sure that they're on that level, but we'll see. I would happily be wrong. And also,
they played tough in that game against Kansas.
They did. And I mean, they gave him a game. So I mean, look.
See, this is what I mean. Tate doesn't like the pick, but he's got to be nice to Harry. He's always nice to Harry. This is what it is. I mean, Harry could have said Bishop.
Somebody has to be nice to Harry.
No, not someone doesn't have to be. You could have said Bishop Sycamore, and Tate would have been like, yeah, he would have made a nice.
Diamond Academy. I kind of like him. Yeah, they play hard.
There you go. Academy. All right, Parlay Kid, another homer pick.
A homer pick. This is like a total homer pick. I get it. It's fine. I make my homer picks, but that's also because I have faith in my team, and I'm going to be disappointed if my team doesn't do well. I don't go, I'm not expecting much out of them. This is a year that I expect a lot out of the Dayton Flyers. They're ranked 24th in the country. They have a good head coach in Anthony Grant. There's some Dayton fans out there that don't love him. His in-game coaching decisions sometimes, but the players love him. They absolutely love him. I think he's a pretty good coach. I'll tell you, he's won a lot of games here in Dayton. This was a team that went 24-11 last year after getting off to a bad start and losing to some terrible teams to start the year last year. Then they went, they beat Kansas early last year in the tournament to win the tournament. Was that Maui? Was that I'm forgetting already? Was that even in Maui last year?
They beat Maui. They beat them in the Bahamas
last year.
It was a Saturday game, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was Maui.
Yeah.
You know, they won that. That was what a win. They were the youngest team in the country last year. The youngest team in the country. They're all back. Everybody's back. Deron Holmes, probably a top 20 pick possibly in the NBA draft. Malachi Smith. excellent young point guard, freshman Mongolian Mike, as I mentioned yesterday on the pod. Mike Sharamjants, he looked good in game one yesterday. I know they didn't. They played Lindenwood. I think maybe even Harry could have put up a few points against them. But nonetheless, at 90-1, this team is going to make the tournament this year. And I think they're going to make a little bit of a run to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, possibly, where I could either start hedging a little bit or let it ride at that point. Mm. Let's take my Dayton Flyers, 90-1, to win it all. We know their home court is awesome. Top 20 in the nation in attendance every year, Harry. Yeah. Every year, right. UD.
That's great.
What a place to watch a basketball game. Let's all do right. it. I can't. This is. I'm so excited for this season.
I like. Tate, I like Mongolian. Tate, what Mike.
Should he start? Should he start hedging now or wait till the Sweet 16?
I think he's going to be. I mean, look. I really like Dayton, and I do feel like Anthony Grant and that team. They feel due because of 2020 not having a tournament, and that year was supposed to be the year that was supposed to be. You know, Crutcher and Obi Toppin. They were going to, you know, make their Final Four run. So I think as a team and as a program, they still are. They're still itching for that moment. You know. In the sun, and I think they have enough talent, and I actually really do like how do you say his last name, PK?
Sharamjants.
I think it's Sharamjants. Yeah, I mean, look, I like Mongolian Mike's a great nickname, and they have a lot of talent. I'm glad that they're ranked in the top 25. It's better for college basketball when Dayton's good. So look, I mean, why not make a run to the Final Four? Anthony Grant deserves it. I think he's one of the top 30 coaches in college basketball.
You brought up Obi Toppin. Tate, could this guy excel on any team or play be a decent player? Because we get his stats every single day, no matter what he's doing, good or bad.
Yeah, I mean,
the kid sends him. Yeah,
I love Obi Toppin, and I really feel bad for Knicks fans that they have to watch Julius Randle start in front of him and play the exact same position.
Thank you, Tate.
It's unfair to everybody, and I keep seeing all these reports that the Knicks are shopping Obi Toppin, and I'm like, why? Why are we shopping Obi? We're shopping the wrong guy. I know a lot of people don't want that Randle contract, but at some point, you have to play the young guy, especially when it seems like the team plays more like a team when he's out there. But yeah, I love Obi Toppin. I could talk about him for days.
Babyface, what about this Dayton pick?
I just feel bad. Like, Parlay Kid still never got over this tournament in 2020 being canceled. Like, Harry never got rid of Sonic canceling the purple Sprite. Like,
that was bad. All right.
He'll never forget. Never
let
forget.
Let it go.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, Harry, get over it already. All right, yeah. I'm going to go Arizona, not because they accepted my son into college the other day, but 22-1. I love this Tommy Lloyd's team. He's 33-4 last year, 18-2 in the Pac-12. They might not even win the Pac-12. I know UCLA is loaded, and Arizona has to replace Benedict Mathurin, but they have Carissa, the junior, the breakout star. He had that ankle injury, so you didn't get this. You know, you didn't get the full what you needed to get complimentary. What's going on with him? 10-5 Tate last year.
Yeah.
Azulis Tabellis, the junior, another returning starter, first team, all Pac-12, 14 points, 6 rebounds. And they have that 7-footer who was a reserve. He came over from Gonzaga with Tommy Lloyd a couple of years ago. Umar Balo, I might be saying it wrong, but
yeah,
about 7. Yeah, he was a reserve. Force down low, expect big things out of him. 22-1. Is Arizona in the mix?
Absolutely. Arizona is a team that last year, you know, Titus and I were really high on. We thought that they could make a run. They almost, you know, for lack of a better term, they peaked a little too soon, you know, and they were the best team in the country. And then, you know, into February hits, March hits, and it felt like Arizona was still figuring some things out. They had so much talent. You know, they lose Dalen Terry. They lose Ben Mathurin. You know, those two guys alone really, you know, you just look at this roster and you're like, my God. I mean, they had so much going for this team. I think this year they're actually going to have a more foundational base as a group. And I think they learned a lot last year. It was the first time they kind of got back in the spotlight as a group. Now they understand that there's a larger picture to this. It's not just about getting to number one in the country. It's about actually making a run in March. And Tommy Lloyd gets that. I really like Tommy Lloyd. For all the Gonzaga love, you know, where Gonzaga gets shot to the moon because they get Drew Timmy back, I think Arizona should have gotten that good favor with the polling. I think Arizona should have been a top five team. I think Arizona should have been a team that everyone's been talking about because Tubelis is a guy who could easily win National Player of the Year. Kerr Creasa is a guy who could end up being a face of college basketball and, you know, maybe not, maybe a face that people hate, but a face nonetheless. So I think Arizona is a really good team. I think they're a really fun team. And I think that Tommy Lloyd and this group now gets the larger picture. And last year, it was their first time in the sun. So you understand why they kind of struggled a little bit, but now they know who they are. And
they had some fun games. They get bounced in the Sweet 16. I remember looking at them. Remember Parlay Kid, we were watching them. It was a night game. Like, how does this team lose? How do they ever lose? I think they went to overtime. I know Mathurin's gone, but yeah, they're a fun team to watch. All right, let's do the Wooden Award here. A little underrated thing. We should know, right? Like the Heisman Trophy, huge college football. The Wooden Award should be a bigger deal, I think, Tate. Your guy, 6-1, Armando Bacot. Drew Timmy, you mentioned, plus 650. He's back. Caleb Love, 10-1. Oscar Tshiebwe. Now, he won it last year, right, Brian?
Yeah, Tshiebwe.
He won it at 12-1. And that's who you're taking?
Oh, that's who I'm taking. You know, I'm taking it solely because of the odds at 12-1, right? I think it's a little weird. You know, he sits comfortably behind Bacot and Timmy right at the top. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It's almost impossible to repeat. He's a little bit of an older player, but he was the unanimous player of the year last year, right? Averaged 17 points and 15 rebounds. Almost impossible to stop down low. And this Kentucky team, they should be a top 5 or 8 team, they've disappointed in years past, but they still... their expectations should be a top 5 or 8 team. Again, I know there's a little bit of fatigue here, but I just thought at 12-1, probably too good of odds here for a guy who's going to probably put up the same numbers, if not better, this year.
I'm going to look up Wooden Award winners, but yeah, there are a lot of back-to-backs, Tate.
I couldn't tell you the last time.
The last back-to-back, I believe, was Ralph Sampson. you can fact-check me on that, but I think it was, think it was 82, 83, something like that. So,
wow.
Yeah, it does not happen often. And Tshiebwe, the only reason why I, you know, am worried about Tshiebwe is that he just had knee surgery, and he had knee surgery 2 weeks before the season started. And John Calipari tried to basically like sweep it under the rug and act like it was no big deal. But anytime you're doing a procedure, that means that there's a larger issue. I know that Oscar himself has said he's willing to play through the pain. But when you're talking about a guy that is supposed to, you know, kind of dominate the boards and be active, and that's really his number one quality. It's not like his shot making or something like that. And he's playing in pain. It is. Right. I have, you know, cause for concern, and that's what worries me about him. And it might just be that he didn't play in enough games. Like, he's not even playing right now. He's not dressing out. They said that he went through warmups, but no one has video of him going through warmups. I mean, there's a lot of John Calipari chicanery going on there. So that's my only concern with Tshiebwe. But if he does play, I mean, there's no reason why he wouldn't repeat, because he's that good.
All right. Yeah. Listen, you're both wrong about the last back-to-back winner, 2015, 2016, Brianna Stewart. So there you go.
Oh, last man, one I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. So sorry. Yeah. I apologize to all our college basketball fans out there.
We'll forgive you.
See, Tate.
Syracuse.
Sal tricked you, Tate. Sal tricked you, Tate. I would never trick you, Tate.
Well, you're going to trick them into thinking Bacot's winning the Wooden Award, Harry. That's your pick.
Look, Tate said it. UNC is loaded. We know this. He came back for a senior season. He's a double-double machine. Finished 12 of his last 13 games last year, double-double. And also that includes the ACC tournament, NCAA tournament, all 8 games, double-doubles. In his last 2 seasons, 63 and 57% from the field. He's a beast. Why not?
All right, Tate. Yeah. You don't like it.
No, I like Bacot a lot. I'm a little concerned that, you know, just coming into the season, I think Bacot's got to find his footing a little bit. I think he's enjoyed the success of what they did with their tournament run, and rightfully so. I'm glad that he did, but he's got to get back into the fold a little bit. He should have had a double-double last night against UNCW. He's 1 rebound short. That concerns me a little bit. And in fact, when I look at this Carolina team and I try to look forward and say, who is going to be the face of this team this year? I think the face of this team this year is RJ Davis. And I think RJ Davis is going to be the one that kind of dictates who this team really is. I think he is a great koozie award bet. I mean, and Carolina hasn't had a koozie award winner since Kendall Marshall. So I think that, you know, it's about time that RJ Davis is back in that conversation. So for me this year, and RJ obviously getting assists through Bacot will be big for Bacot, but I could see a world in which RJ Davis is kind of the star of this team, and Bacot and Caleb Love, you know, have their games, have their moments, you know, do what they need to do. But RJ Davis is really the engine that gets this team going. So that would kind of make me stray away from Bacot winning the award as being the face of this team.
Your mother says Love, though.
Jesus. Yeah, my mom is team Caleb Love. Yeah, my mom is all about Caleb Love. Ever since he hit that shot against Coach K, she's like, he's the best player on the team.
All right, Parlay Kid, Jackson Davis. Oh, he's fun to watch. 20-1
Yeah, look, once again, I'm just blown away by Tate. His ability to just ramble off name after name, team after team.
Three minutes deep on 50 teams. It's ridiculous.
I am not kidding you when I say, look, we could have Tony Romo on here, right, talking football or any of the guests we've had, and I wouldn't feel so inferior as then when Tate Frazier comes on and talks college basketball. But I do still have Tate on my phone when it comes up. It does say Tate the Snake. I still haven't changed that. I got to keep that old school Tate. Sorry. Just the way
like
it is.
That. You didn't like that.
I didn't like it.
All right.
Tate's mom hated it. Tate's mom hated it.
Yeah. My mom was like, please stop that. She was like, I'll take Masturbator over there. Yeah.
Master Tate. No, listen, we weren't that on the nose.
So good. Okay. So good. But Tate, amazing. Really, it's amazing how you just know every single player in the NCAA. Yeah, Trace Jackson Davis, Sal. I haven't really seen him on Caesar, so you could let me know. I've seen him at 20-1
Yep.
Is he 20? Yeah, so I did get that right. Mm-hmm. 4-year player in this program, 19-9, 18-8 over the last 2 years. He is the Big Ten preseason player of the year. He's been in the Wooden Award watch list the past 2 years. Third team All-American as a sophomore, first team Big Ten last year. Guy's a dominant force on a team that's ranked 13th in the country. Why not? A lot of experience, primed for a huge monster season, you know, 2010, 22, 12, I don't know, somewhere in that range. Let's take him at 20-1
Tate, Parley Kid says you know every play. Do you know, have you heard of Trace Jackson Davis before?
I have, yes. He's been at Indiana for as long as I can remember, I think. Yeah. But I really liked Trace Jackson Davis. I like that, you know, Mike Woodson, obviously in his second year, still has him there to kind of be the anchor of that team. My only concern with Indiana, and was my same concern last year, is the guard play. I really think that they have to figure out who can make the entry passes to Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson. There's a lot of high-low game that happens with those two forwards on that team where they're basically feeding each other, and then it gets the ball out of the guard's hands. And in college basketball, we all know it's defense and guard play. So at the end of the day, when we get to March, they're going to have some guard play, as we saw in the NCAA tournament when they played against St. Mary's and St. Mary's ran them off the court. It was just they were playing a different game than Indiana. So that's my only concern. But Trace Jackson Davis should put up the numbers. He should put up the production. Indiana should be one or two in the Big Ten. And if that's the case, I mean, why not? Why not have Trace Jackson Davis, you know, end up being the guy?
All right. Bri took Houston to win it all. Marcus Sasser, he mentioned 18-3-3 last year, averaged 2 steals a game. That's my pick. Already 21 points this year. He already scored yesterday. 3-point percentage. This is important, I think. Went from 36 to 38 to almost 44 last year. And this is on 9 attempts. He puts it up. He's going to have big games that you can't ignore. You like that at 12-1, or is it not worth it at that number?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think Sasser, I think in a world of college basketball where we're talking about all the bigs, whether it be Bacot, Shibway, Timmy, right, there's going to be a little bit of fatigue with Hunter Dickinson. There's going to be a little bit of all we talk about is the bigs, and then we have this flashy guard that, like you said, is hitting step-back threes and you know, kind of capturing the creativity of the mind when it comes to college basketball. So I think Sasser has a real chance to be a star, and I think Houston has a real chance to kind of be the program that's at the front, you know, at the front of everyone's mind when we get to March, and everyone's like, I could see Houston being the number one overall seed in the tournament, and Marcus Sasser being the number one star in the tournament.
Interesting.
And then as we head to March, everyone's all on Houston, and I think that might be great for North Carolina, because I think North Carolina will still be a one seed, but they might not be the flavor of the month, so to speak. So Houston's going to get that treatment, I think, all year long.
So who is your pick for Wooden? Is it Sasser or is it somebody else?
So I have a vote. I have a Wooden vote.
Oh,
now.
You do?
So,
wow.
Yeah, so Titus and I both have votes.
You can't do it then, right?
So I think I can't, like, say who I think would win, but I mean, Sasser is, Sasser has always impressed me. I can say that.
I wanted to put money on it for you, but I don't want to get that vote. I don't want Titus to have two votes. Yeah, no, that would be bad. All right. We'll talk. We'll talk off air there. We do have some miscellaneous picks. I have one I think you're going to like. Duke under 13.5 conference wins. Now they play 20, right?
Yes.
You get plus 120. You got a first year coach who looks like the Miz if he never saw a bench press, but mostly freshmen. you know, AJ Griffin, Trevor Keels, Wendell Moore, Mark Williams, all selected in the NBA draft. I'm not that excited about Jeremy Roach, averaged 8 points a game, or that, who's the Illinois transfer, Grandison?
Curtis Grandison.
Yeah, so I think it's Jacob, right?
Curtis Grandison plays baseball.
Curtis is gone. but they have a February road trip against Miami and Virginia, supposed to be good. FSU is supposed to be good. Your team, obviously. Notre Dame could be tough. They're at Wake. They're at Syracuse. Could, you know, trip them up. 16-4 last year. I think 12-8 or 13-7 would be a decent start for this new coach.
Yeah, I think so too. And if you're John Shire, I mean, you're really banking on, I mean, I've never seen these kids play. So you're banking on these freshmen to come in and to be superstars, which is, you know, obviously been the Duke model for, you know, dating back to when Kyrie came back in 2010. So that's what they do. That's what they're building on. That's their foundation. But what's funny about this current team with Shire, what I saw last night was they're starting this guy, Ryan Young at center, who is a grad transfer from Northwestern. And he looks like Brian Zubek. I mean, he is like a carbon copy of that type of Duke center. So I think there's a world in which John Shire is bringing back the Duke that I know, the Duke that every Carolina fan grew up watching, whether, you know, the Lee Melchione types. And it does feel like John Shire is bringing that world of Duke back, which I think, you know, there could be some growing pains between the freshmen and some of these grad transfers that he brought in. Cause there's, you know, it's like 25-year-olds playing with 18-year-olds. And I find that a little strange. They'll have the talent, of course, but I think you're right. I think Duke going under, Virginia going over in the conference is kind of, you know, what I would do as far as the pecking order. And I think that North Carolina will win the ACC regular season, but I think Virginia will finish in second and be right there.
Interesting. So
I would knock Duke down to like third or fourth.
We have Brian Harry fighting over Big 12 bragging rights here. Harry, why don't you go first?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to take the favorite, Baylor. 2-1. The Bears have at least a share of the last two regular season Big 12 titles. Scott Drew, one of the most one of the best coaches in the country, and LG Cryer and Adam Flagler, probably the best guard combo in the country. So Baylor 2-1. And Kansas, I'm down on Kansas, by the way. Down four integral players from last season's national championship team, including Christian Braun and Abaji. I just think the Jayhawks are overrated. I think they're down this year. And I'm going to go with Baylor 2-1.
Did you hit mute, Harry? What'd you do? We can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Yeah. All right. 2-1 on Baylor.
Okay, nice. Good enough.
Perfect. I wasn't going to tell you to go back. Thank you.
Ken's calling. I can't help it. I can't get away from it. Ken's calling.
Yeah, because he still can't figure it out. He's still got to do the podcast on his phone. He's can't figure it out.
Do it on your damn computer.
Oh, my God.
All I can know is why.
Brian, give your Big 12 pick and then Tate can decide between the two.
Tate might hate this immediately because I was looking at TCU at plus 550. I made this decision before I saw what they did last night, and they struggled against Arkansas Pine Bluff. They won by 1 point last night. but this was a team that underachieved probably a little bit last season. But in the tournament, like, they dominated Seton Hall. They just lost to Arizona. I don't know if you remember that game. They should have beat them. They were up three with a few seconds left, and then Mathurin hit a three to tie it to force overtime. But they bring back their best player, Mike Miles. The rest of their starters are back. This is a conference that's still going to be good, but Baylor, you know, is going to be a little bit down. Kansas is going to be a little bit down, or they're going to have a lot of new players, I should say. If there was ever a year for somebody else to claim this conference, it's probably this year. So I'm going to take TCU plus 550.
All right, Tate.
Nice.
You like both either of those teams, or you can go off the board and see who the audience picked for you to date?
I will say I do like TCU. I just don't foresee them winning the conference, even though I really like their team. And I like you said, Brian, I didn't like the start last night. I did like the start for Baylor. I thought Baylor looked great. I like Cryer a lot. I like Keontae George, the freshman that they brought in. I mean, he's top 10 on mock draft. So, I mean, Baylor's got the talent. Flo Thamba's a big man that I think can actually get it done in March. So, Baylor, I really like. They're the one team that I think of in the Big 12 that could sneak up on them, even though I don't like them, is Texas. I mean, Texas with Timmy Allen, Chris Beard, Tyrese Proctor, who they brought from Iowa State, Tyrese Hunter, I should say, that they brought from Iowa State, who a lot of people think could be the best point guard in the country. So, yeah. Texas is the team that I look at, but I'm going to go with Baylor. I think Baylor would be my bet. I think they're a good team.
And nice team.
One of my futures that I want to put on you guys' radar now, the next Kentucky head coach after John Calipari, it will be Scott Drew.
Really?
I'm putting that, mm-hmm. I put that in your face right now. No, I think Kentucky fans want Scott Drew. I think they want to move on from Calipari, and I think Scott Drew would be, he would be a force at Kentucky.
When does that happen? What's the over-under? Is it next season?
I think this year, if things go bad for Kentucky, let's say Sheboy's hurt and they don't have a tournament run, then I think Kentucky fans, after St. Peter's, after a 9-win season, you know, they're already grumbling a little bit. And I think Scott Drew is the first man they call.
Interesting. And now, so your Baylor pick to win the conference, was that at all influenced by Harry's analysis that we weren't able to hear?
Yes, okay. Harry sold me. I can see, I can read it. I can see his eyes.
I said Cryer and Flagler.
No, we don't want to hear it, Harry. You had a chance. Yeah. You had a chance. We got Harry. That's it.
Best card combo in the country. Would you say that, Tate?
I'd say RJ Davis and Caleb Love.
Uh-huh. There you go. All right. Uh-huh. Parlay Kid, now you are really putting Tate to the test here about his basketball knowledge and his college knowledge, because you did research on the Horizon Conference winner. What do you like?
Yeah, and look, this isn't to try to test Tate at all. It's just that I couldn't find A-10 odds on Caesars to win the conference. So I moved on and just started doing
lame
some research.
Lame conference, Darren. Lame conference.
They got Chicago. They got Loyola Chicago in the conference now, too. Yeah. So it's actually upgraded. And the St. Louis Billikens are actually a very good team this year. Too. So watch out for them. So I'm taking it to the Horizon Conference, Sal. Oakland Golden Grizzlies. By the way, their coach has been there for like 50 years. He's been there forever. He's probably like third on the all-time wins list or something like that, or third active wins for coaches. But Sal, they're returning their second leading scorer in Jalen Moore. Also their assist leader, very good point guard. They return their leading shot blocker and fourth leading scorer in Trey Townsend. Another solid player. But here's the thing with this team. They went 20-12 last year, 12-7 in the Horizon Conference, but they got three Division I transfers to come in, which obviously they're a Division I school, but they got the sixth leading scorer from Wisconsin. Lauren Bauman came in. Rocket Watts, who was a pretty big-time freshman about 3 or 4 years ago at Michigan State, then went to Mississippi State, kind of fell off the radar. The guy's a pretty big-time player. And Keaton Hervey from Missouri State, who all, by the way, two of those three guys put up big numbers in game one last night. At 9-1, this team is, I think they're pretty deep with these transfers in this Horizon League.
Wow.
So let's roll with them, Sal. What the heck?
I mean, we have to be the only podcast in the world previewing the Horizon Conference. So what do you think, Tate? Do you like Oakland, the Northern Kentucky Norse, the Youngstown State Penguins? What's your pick?
I mean, I'm a little partial to Robert Morris at times, but I don't like Robert Morris this year. That's not my squad. I think Oakland's a good bet. I mean, I like Rocket Watts. Rocket Watts was supposed to be Tom Izzo's next protege point guard until he wasn't. You know, he was learning under Cassius Winston. Everyone was talking about how great he's going to be. And now he's at Oakland. And Oakland, I mean, they're always good. I mean, they're a staple. And it looks like they won yesterday 92-27 against whoever Defiance is.
Ohio.
Yeah.
Checking their score, they push it. They average around 80 points a game usually.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, Watts had 15 in their first game. So, I mean, as long as he's playing, that makes me feel encouraged about this Oakland team.
All right. Well, Tate, listen, I want to bet for you. I was going to put money on a winner for you for the national championship and the Wooden Award, but I don't want to get that vote taken away. So, do you want to give us, I'll bet UNC for you because you already picked them.
Okay.
Is there a longest shot? Is there someone down the board? Do you want to go Houston or do you want to go somebody else?
I have a dark horse for you guys, and it's coming from a conference that I never believe in March. So, you know, take it with a the A-10. No, I'm kidding. I think it's going to be, I think this year.
Wait, can I guess?
Yeah, please.
It's from a conference you don't normally believe in.
In March,
I'm going to say, all right, you can't go too far up. All right, in March, so that's, I'm going to grab it here. The San Diego State Aztecs.
I like San Diego State, but it's not San Diego State.
Harry, you want to guess?
Yeah, Harry, go for it.
Can't give us a conference, huh?
No, of course. Why would he do it? This is making it so easy.
Come on, just take one guess. Quit.
Oh, Jesus. Oregon.
Not Oregon, but I do like, I mean, Dana Allman.
I'll say, even though I'm not sure how much of a dark horse they are, I'll say UCLA.
No. UCLA is like a front, like they're at the front of my mind. Yeah. They're a Final Four team to me. Okay. So it wouldn't be them. Wouldn't be them.
Right.
But UCLA has
a big mistake.
I'm just going to say, Harry, I mean, Tate hates the Big Ten, Michigan. I don't know.
Right conference. Big Ten for sure. Michigan's a good, I like Jet Howard, who is, Juwan Howard's son, who's a freshman for Michigan. Hunter Dickinson is back. But
it's
the
Illinois.
Team that I think. It's Illinois. Mm. There you go, Harry. It's Illinois.
50 to
and it's
one.
Terrence Shannon Jr., a.k.a. he's going by T.J. Shannon now. He's changed his name. But he is one of the best guards in the country. He's one of those guys that could end up being in that wooden watch list where people are like, wait a second. Oh, my God. Illinois is a lot better than I thought. And they're a different team, right? They don't have Curbelo. They don't have Kofi Coburn. They don't have Trent Frazier. It's all new guys, but they're all really, really good players. And Sky Clark, who's a freshman, he was committed to Kentucky, ended up going to Illinois. He's looked great so far. They beat Kansas, right? Kansas came up and they scrimmaged and they beat Kansas, and that got them on my radar. And as far as a dark horse team, I think they're also a team that thinks they're due after what happened to them in 2021. They win the Big Ten tournament. They're playing in Indianapolis. They think they're going to win the national championship. Mm. It does not go that way. I really like Brad Underwood. His daughter, Katie Underwood, was an intern on our show. So that, I have been fortunate to be able to like kind of talk to the Illinois people. They really like their team. Uh-huh. So that's my dark horse pick. I think Illinois.
All right. I'm going to put 100 for you on North Carolina, 9-1 and 50 on Illinois.
Nice.
50-1. Good enough, right?
Perfect. Sign me
now
up.
Now you got,
sign
you're already up signed up. You don't have to sign it. I don't want you to lose your vote. don't sign anyone anything ask you to sign. I do want to ask you, are you at all worried that you'll be implicated when Jim Cunningham strangles a Creighton cheerleader at the Big East tournament next March?
Yes. Anything. Okay. When you say, am I worried about being implicated with Jim Cunningham? Absolutely. Every time that anything happens related to Jim Cunningham, I'm like, I hope they don't trace it back.
Last
to me.
We heard from there's a picture that I think he submitted that the comparison to him to the Zodiac Killer.
Oh, was so good.
It was
I thought he was joking.
I would have run right out of the studio. I would have been like, oh, that's you. And I'm gone. Never see you again.
He looks exactly like him. Yeah. And, he acts how you would assume. Right. The Zodiac Killer to act. Not that we know much about the Zodiac Killer, but everything that you would assume, Jim seems to check those boxes. My mom is very concerned. She does not want us working with Jim Cunningham.
I think Tate, he calls Brian and me like at 11:30 at night on a Friday, and you can't get him off the phone until like 2:30 in the morning.
He's going to listen to this, Harry. You're going
to
be in trouble.
He can listen to it. We can cut the 3-hour phone calls down to one.
So Ken does it though, Sal.
Yeah, Harry, you used to be on for 7 hours with Ken.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Maybe that's the fix. We get Jim to call Ken and have conversations.
Love it. Love it.
Brian watches terrible pay-per-view events with Jim once a month, like all the Barstool
things. Every time there's if there's like a rough and rowdy or if there's a Paul fight, we'll watch it together.
Yeah, The man lives in the trash. That is, that's where he wants to be.
You would think Harry would appreciate that, but no. All right. Yeah. Harry, you were enemies. You were arch rivals, and now he wants to talk to you on the phone. You didn't want anything to do with it. So
it's kind of sweet.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Babyface.
I feel bad I don't call you as much, Harry. I'm sorry.
No, he can't. He can't answer the phone.
Still owes me that wedding present, Tate.
There you go. I'll make sure
him on for that
you.
Because there is a little controversy surrounding that and a flight, and he feels like he paid extra for
I didn't book his flight out of Flagstaff. That wasn't me.
Yeah. All right.
God only
Babyface,
knows.
Babyface, you have a question for Tate?
I do have one question for Tate, and if he knows anything just as well as college basketball, it's hip hop music. He really waxes poetic. We at our former job, we used to talk a lot about it. And I know Parlay Kid and I have talked about Drake and 21 Savage's new album. But Tate, I actually don't want to even get your thoughts on that. More importantly, I wish he was here. H Dog released an incredible released the Tennessee Georgia rap last week. I don't know if you've heard it, but just your thoughts on H-Dog in general, just unbelievable.
Legend.
I think H-Dog is putting himself out there, and I think the people have to respect it. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that want to be MCs. There's a lot of people that want to stick their neck out, and they're afraid
respect,
to do it. H-Dog says, I'll put the video out. You can watch it. You can cover your ears if you like, but you're going to enjoy it. I have to respect the artistry behind H-Dog.
I'll let him know, Tate. I'll let him know.
We learned that. Is H-Dog on the phone with Jim Cunningham? Is Jim Cunningham the mastermind behind H-Dog's poems? I don't know what it is.
I think we need Kyle. I think we need Nephew Kyle and H-Dog to do a track
Kyle
together. There we go.
About his raps.
That could be the moment. Right. That could be
Tate,
good.
Before we say goodbye, I have a fantasy issue here. Now, I lost in our league of 30-plus years now, 108-107, to Brother John, who is the Parley Kid and Brian's brother. They have other brothers, too. There's like 13 brothers in the family. But this one I lost 108-107. It was a crushing defeat. And anyway, the Parlay Kid a couple weeks ago offered me Joe Mixon and Amari Cooper for Tony Pollard and Alvin Kamara, and I passed on it, right? And then I'm getting texts from the Parlay Kid, oh, you could add Joe Mixon the other day. You had like 51 fantasy points or something. I'm like, all right. Today, this morning, I wake up, Parlay Kid offers me Chris Olave for Tony Pollard, which is fine. It's fair. But I am going to take his first offer from a couple weeks ago because he did not delete that offer. So I'm going to now accept that. And away we go, Parley Kid. Congratulations. You have Alvin Kamara now.
Did you really accept that?
You didn't delete it. So it's welcome to this motherfucker.
I'll tell you, I'm still fine with that. All right, let's do it.
Oh, really? Okay. I actually didn't accept it, but I'm accepting right now.
Yeah, you've just been mulling over the offer for a couple of weeks. You've just been thinking about it.
I won't do that to you, Parley Kid. I don't know about Olave for Parley.
So my team's 3-6. It's okay. I mean,
I'll figure it out. And listen, I watch the Saints too, and you shouldn't be impressed with Kamara. And I'm not with Olave with Andy Dalton, but we'll figure it out. But I could have done a mean thing there, Tate. I just wanted people to know that, right?
No, that was very kind of you. Okay, the bigger man. Yeah, the bigger man for sure.
All right. Tate, what do you have to plug aside from your $100 bet on Carolina at 9-1?
Plug Titus and Tate. It's twice a week. It's about college basketball. Myself, Mark Titus, we're back in the saddle and we're having a great time. And the season just started. I'm going to be in Asheville this weekend. I am the host of the Asheville Championship.
Nice. That's right.
So four teams. Beautiful. Down there, and I'll be emceeing the event, you know, talking to kids, and going to be on the Cherokee reservation doing a little like Harris Cherokee casino hangout thing. I don't even know what that was going to be.
That's where you had the North Carolina bet, right? Tate?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to put in North Carolina again to win the title this year. This. Fingers crossed. We'll see what happens.
Really?
And then next week we're going to Maui. We're going to be in the Maui Invitational. So myself,
wow,
Mark Titus.
Going to Maui.
Jump on Creighton, Tate. Jump on Creighton.
Hosting the Asheville. You're going, I mean, this is insane. You're a booster for LMU. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying. And then North Carolina plays Indiana in Bloomington November 30th. And Titus and I will be at that game as well. And then I'll be in New York at Madison Square Garden when North Carolina plays Ohio State.
December 17th,
so,
is that?
Yeah. December 17th, exactly.
You're competing with the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. You don't have a shot. But anyway, that'll be fun for you.
I hate that I always miss the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. It's all I want to do is go to it.
I know for a fact that UNC is going to play Illinois in the final, and you're going to have money on both, and Illinois is going to win. The Illini will cut down the nets.
And it'll be 0-5 redemption, and then I just cry. Right. You know, then I'm done with predictions.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done.
All right. Wow. Tate Frazier, thanks for coming on. It was great. And you know, listen, tell your mother to change her number because Harry texting her at all. He complains about Jim Cunningham. This is ridiculous. Harry won't stop reaching out to her. Come on, Harry.
Oh, man. Harry,
that was stories
on,
from Tate. I didn't
now.
Reach out to Tate's mother.
Right. You're a married man.
Yeah, right.
Kind of.
For now. For now.
He's married to a Sonic Shakes. All right. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. There you go. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, the Degenerate Trifecta, and the great Master Tate Frazier. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, na, na.